I'm British.
I'm British.
Slaughty Britty.
Slaughty Britty.
Slaughty Britty.
Slaughty Britty.
Just everything is a glottal stop.
A glottal stop.
Time of day, and welcome back to Zero Credits, the show where we talk about things. My name's Henry.
And my name's John.
And together we're Henry and John.
So, Henry.
Oh, John?
How do you feel about the Oxford comma?
I have no strong opinion one way or another. Just, if it's not there, it kind of looks weird.
I am pro Oxford comma because language is meant to convey information, and I feel like it conveys information the clearest way.
You're right.
And welcome back to Zero Credits, the show where we talk about Oxford commas.
Oh, are we rebranding to only talk about the Oxford comma?
God, no. I think we've covered that. I think it's done and dusted.
Oh, well then I guess our podcast is over.
All right.
This has been Zero Credits, the show where we talk about the Oxford comma. But don't worry, folks, there's more Zero Credits, the show where we talk about things,
right after this. I thought you were going to say it at the same time.
All right, welcome back to the real Zero Credits, not the fake show that we do at the top of the show to confuse everybody.
Yeah.
And so now let's get into the credits stuff.
Let's get into the meat of this podcast episode.
But you're a vegetarian.
I am. I don't eat meat. Except podcast meat.
Oh, because podcast meat is just made of the meat of digital whales.
You're right. You're so right.
I'm still on the notion that podcasting has something to do with whales.
They do live in pods.
That's the connection.
That's the connection. Do-do-do-do. Is that
a new segment where we...
It's not.
We just name two things and try to find how they're connected?
Look, we don't do things on this show like willy-nilly create segments out of nothing.
You're right. That's why we have this very super prepared segment for this today's episode.
And what segment is that?
What are we doing? You didn't have to mouth that to me or anything. I just
knew. What are we doing?
Today, we are hopping back in time.
Ooh.
About... What, 13, 12 years?
Oh, right, this thing that we told people we'd do.
We have to make good on what we've said, and we've put it off for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So, like, I've been hyping this up on the Twitter.
I think it might be best that we get this out of the way sooner rather than later.
Yes, like a 10-year-old Band-Aid. Let's rip this off as painfully and as quickly as possible.
Like a calcified Band-Aid. Ugh.
Like a Band-Aid that when you remove it, a younger version of yourself pops out and is just an awful person.
How to get ahead in advertising. So, really, don't do what we've done. Don't look up things you wrote 10 years ago. Just don't do it.
This segment is gonna be called... Digital Archaeology!
Digital Archaeology! That's a good segment.
And what we've done is, John and I have combed through what's left of the ruins of yesteryear to find any sort of print of our online presence from the past decade.
We have scoured the globe from the Hanging Gardens of Zanga to the Great Pyramids of LiveJournal to... Bring the artifacts to you.
We've combed through the jungles of Gaia Online.
Ugh.
And even, maybe, perhaps, got turned away at the gates of MySpace.
Ooh.
I deleted my MySpace.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. So did I.
Yeah.
Don't know why MySpace was the one I deleted, but...
Yeah, same here.
Yeah. Don't know why that one was so inflammatory in my mind, but...
And we bring all of these artifacts and goodies to you today in the form of we're going to read them over this podcast.
We promised it, and now we're delivering.
This is the punishment that we bear, so you don't have to.
So want to get into it?
Yeah, I guess.
Who would like to start? You know, I'll start.
All right.
With one of mine.
Here we go.
So this, almost all of these are taken from a message board called Gaia Online. As it turns out, when I was about 13 years old, I didn't do a ton of long-form writing on the internet, or at least none that I could really recover. So I combed through some old email addresses and found that I had registered to this website called Gaia Online that I don't really remember, but it's like a little avatar-based anime message board thing.
I sort of remember this site, because I remember there being avatars and such, but there wasn't, like, a video game attached to it, so no. I never got involved.
It was just cosmetic avatars, from what I can tell. And, yeah, so the funny thing about it is I combed through these old email addresses, pulled up all these old passwords, and I went to log into this account.
Yeah.
And it said, you have been banned from Gaia Online until you turn 13.
Well, interesting.
Because I, as viewers are aware, am well over the age of 25.
That's, I mean, I always had my suspicions, but I'm glad you confirmed that you're indeed older than 13.
So I looked it up, and apparently people just get banned on Gaia Online and then never unbanned for... I was 13 when I made those posts. They just assumed that I was not, I guess.
Were you acting underage by being annoying?
Yes.
Oh, I was. Okay.
However, I found out that the only way to reverse this is to send the Gaia Online administrators a support ticket with a picture of your driver's license.
Did you?
Which, no. That's crazy.
Oh my gosh.
Like, that is unbelievably crazy.
Yeah.
So I created a separate account with one of those pop-up email addresses, and then used that to search through all my old posts by viewing my profile. And, yeah, I was not a good person.
You did some real detective work to dig up things on yourself.
I did. It was fun. Let's hear how much fun I was.
Let's hear about 13-year-old John.
So, with 13-year-old John, this is a period of my life where I had, what's the past tense of issue? I could say abandoned. I abandoned kind of the, my religious upbringing to a certain extent. I had become more active in knowing myself and how much of a pretentious ass I wanted to be, and I made sure that everything that I typed was always in perfect grammar and punctuation for the most part, because I was better than everybody else.
Wow.
So
let's give a listen to one of your quotes.
This is a quote of me talking to someone who had used a you instead of the word you one of their posts.
You're not gonna do this.
I said to a human being, why bother shortening a three-letter word to save yourself 0.07 seconds? What are you going to do with your free time? Invent a better mousetrap? Create a religion? Rebuild ancient Rome? Those are all great ideas, and I bet if you start shortening the word R, you can do two of them, and have time to play with, in all capital letters, Lego.
John.
No? I ended this by saying, yeah, I'm a snippy A asterisk asterisk. Get over it.
You're such a sassy, passive-aggressive person.
What a sassy asshole I was.
Why? Rebuild ancient Rome?
It's monstrous. Why would it be that way?
I don't know. Actually, I do have a theory about this.
Yeah?
But I kind of want to, like, put the discussion...
Yeah, let's...
You know, it, what is it? Belay the what we learned from this experience.
Yeah, let's get a view of this in sum total and then come with our thoughts. Ugh. I used the company-appropriate pluralization of Legos.
Lego.
Lego, in all capital Lego. Letters, stylized appropriately, because I was the worst.
You're like an adorable tiny tool.
Ugh.
You reminded me of something, though, like...
Yeah?
I wasn't... Oh my gosh, I don't know where to begin.
Is this the live journal we're looking at right now?
Alright, so let's start... with the earliest thing. This is my live journal.
Okay.
I created this, it says, right here, in March of 2004.
Oh, that's a year after mine, so we are about the same age.
So I would be 13 at this time.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to read my bio.
Go for it.
To start with.
Yes.
You know, there's nothing but to do but to rip that Band-Aid off.
Yes.
Here we go.
Just go for it. Let it rip off the Band-Aid.
Trey is my name, mm-hmm. and video games are, well, my game.
Jesus.
I am a full-fledged game freak.
Oh?
If any new release comes out, I'm there at the store around midnight in line trying to get it. Yep, that's how I got my GameCube.
Oh, wow.
2 a.m. at Walmart. Got the second to last one. Smiley face, smiley face, smiley face.
Oh, no.
I also enjoy soccer and stuff.
And stuff.
I have no life. I sold it on eBay for 50 cents.
Oh, that was funny until then.
I later used that 50 cents to get the high score on the Pac-Man game at the mall arcade. Then the Pac-Man game was taken out of the mall arcade. And we were all sad. XD. Remember, it only takes one thing to bring down an empire. Something as unimportant as a nail on a horseshoe can ruin the lifestyle of a population. Let me explain. Say, a messenger has been ordered by the king to watch for any approaching armies of a neighboring kingdom. The messenger sees an army and rushes to his horse to warn the king. He starts to gallop with his horse, but a nail on the horseshoe loses, and the horseshoe falls off. The horse topples over and the messenger is sent flying to his death. The message never gets relayed to the king and his army is wiped out in a surprise attack. All it takes is one thing to ruin an empire. Only one. We only have one shot, and one thing can ruin it. It just takes one. One is the magic number in life, because it's the only thing that matters. My philosophy on life... Carrot, 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 pointing upward.
Is that from something?
Nope.
Did you just make...
That's okay. Just what I put in my bio.
I really adore the fact that your bio is, I love games, I have no life. Also, weirdly deep, pointless philosophical comment. Really drove the point home there. They were like, one. One is all it takes, and one is the magic number, because that is all it takes. My philosophy.
The only thing that doesn't take one is saying that one.
Yes.
Oh, man. That is just awful.
It really only takes one thing to ruin someone's lifestyle, like reading that.
Watch, I'm going to lose all my friends now because I'm a giant nerd.
Hey, look. They love it. So...
This is awful.
That's pretty great. That's pretty fantastic.
That was just my bio.
Yeah. So, let's see. I'm going to save one of these for later.
Okay. That's fair.
So, I'll preface this one by saying that when I was a early-aged teenager, 12, 13, I was very, and we've discussed this on the podcast, I was very anti-drug.
Yeah.
Anti-drug, anti-alcohol, anti-everything, very straight edge. And I would get into protracted debates with people online about the demerits of drug use. Right?
All right.
And by this point in time, I had apparently developed a kind of affected, callous nature toward it. So this was on a thread called, What Do You Think About Drug Use?
Okay.
Such as marijuana.
Nice.
My reply, in reply to no one in particular, just throwing it out there was, and I quote, I see people doing weed all the time, and I think, why are you polluting my air?
Gosh.
And, okay, I said, why are you polluting my air? ? Close quotation mark, period. And then I say, ah, apathy, my greatest and sweetest virtue, and a parting is such sweet sorrow.
Why? What does that mean? Are you parting with your apathy?
I don't know.
What is this?
Yep. So I had apparently affected that point that I did not care about drug use. I very much did. I like that. Why are you polluting my air? Also, I said doing weed.
Wait, do people not do weed?
They do not do weed.
What do they? What? No.
They inject it.
They inject it.
Yeah. That's real dumb.
Man.
I searched for a while for a protracted post I made to the effect of, like, a manifesto against drug use, but I think that was on a forum that I no longer have access to.
Gotcha.
Yeah. That's...
So you were, like, really sort of deep.
Was I?
Well, not deep, but, you know, deep in quotes, like, you're trying to, present yourself as more adult than you were.
Oh, absolutely. I had so much to prove, and I hated the fact that I was young.
Yeah.
My entire life, until the point when I was, like, 22, I hated being as young as I was. I always lied about my age. I always wanted to be older, no matter what it was. And now it's like I'm dying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, like, my online presence...
Yes?
Because even though I went to that weird philosophical thing for my bio, not at all presenting myself as an adult.
Kind of infantile.
Let's just give this a listen.
What's the context on this?
I don't know.
Okay.
It just says... It's entitled, I Looked Out the Window.
All right.
I'm not going to read all of it, because I feel like mine are long.
Mine are just from a message board. Yours are from a live journal.
Yeah.
But read as much as you feel comfortable with.
Here we go.
All right.
Here it is.
Yes.
I looked out the window.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a fire-breathing hippo waiting outside of my window. I said, this is going to be a hell of a day. Actually, a raven was gone my window again, and I was circled by hawks all day. Gosh, when will these birds leave me alone? Ah! At least, Tim, only on the two-step. I mean, all people know that first you see a feather in your yard about 10 times or so, then you're woken up by a raven a few or more times, then the raven presents itself. That's good. It's bad when you start to see bloody feathers, hearing a dying raven, and then seeing a raven dead. That's bad. Really bad. Really, really, lots of really's bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 really's bad.
That's a lot of really's.
In fact, I would run as fast as I could into the nearest bomb shelter. Happy face.
Okay, wait. Here's the thing. About halfway through you reading that, I felt like this was like a Markov chain or like a weird spam email. And then it became very dark and kind of like insularly thematic.
I mean, it reads like a letter chain because it's misspelled everywhere. There are no periods. Everything is connected with ellipses.
Oh, great.
That's the entire live journal.
Yeah, that's most of live journal from a certain era.
And I'm skipping to read the section that starts off with the word flabbergasted, and then about 30 exclamation points.
All right.
Because...
What is a flabbergasted?
Don't know.
All right.
I think I thought it was a body part.
All right. Why?
I don't know, Sean. This was a confused 13-year-old who thought birds were after him.
Yeah, and fire-breathing hippos, apparently.
Oh, I don't know about all that. But I wrote my book report.
Oh, nice.
So that's good.
What was the book?
Don't remember.
All right.
But I wrote it.
Nice.
A lot of my live journal stuff is just me talking about school and then this weird...
That thing. All right, shall we?
And me just yelling at people.
Oh, man, you really liked alternating font sizes.
You should have seen my Zynga.
Maybe one day.
Yeah.
There are future segments if I could find more of my stuff.
I mean, I have a treasure trove.
So, here's one that's a little bit more meaty about myself.
Here we go.
So, here's something about 13-year-old John. 13-year-old John had never had a girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
Badly wanted one.
Yeah.
Thought the internet was the place to get one.
Awesome.
Apparently.
I love this.
Here's the thing. When you're young and a nerd and on the internet, you know how you make women want to be your girlfriend and move to your state and, like, marry you?
Sure.
You defend them vehemently, no matter what happens.
You were a white knight?
Yes, absolutely.
Wow, John.
And, yeah, it's super dumb.
I mean, you gotta...
So, what someone had done was, they had typed an H instead of a J in some kind of word, and someone had called them out on it, and this person, probably not a woman, had, like, a female dumb anime avatar. Yes?
You defended her use of a J instead of an H?
An H instead of a J.
Okay.
And So here's my post.
Here we go, everyone.
Holy S asterisk asterisk T.
You're so straight edge.
Exclamation point. She accidentally typed H instead of J. Jesus Christ, cut her a break. They're right next to each other. I do that all the time. And, well, she should edit her post won't do, because I don't even think about, oh geez, I better revise my post, because some A asterisk 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 E asshole will try to flame me. Besides the fact that she didn't spell anything, here's a doozy, she didn't spell anything noob-like.
Noob-like?
N00B hyphen like.
Oh,
except on the topic, yet you decided to flame her for one word. Your post was quite humorous. Try harder next time, champ.
Why are you so... You're, like, patronizing this person.
I'm extremely patronizing and catty. It's...
Champ.
Yep. And then you can view the whole thread, and it was just, like, dozens of people tearing me apart. Like, dozens of people.
You put yourself out there as...
Yeah.
The target.
Yep. No, there's a theme where if you watch my posts and you see what I say, every post following that is tons of people attacking me for being a prick.
Oh my gosh.
So at least Gaia Online had its head on straight about that one. There are a lot of examples on there of me being like, don't be mean to a lady, even though it's probably not a lady. Don't do it.
Because then she'll move to my state and yep. want to marry me.
Yeah, I was a... horrible white knight.
Oh, man.
That one was just the most, man, I use the word noob.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
That's really awful.
I was never one to actually, like, participate in online forums and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I would register, but never post.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why.
I was the opposite. I liked forums a lot, because then I could feel good about myself, and then have people tear me apart. That's not why I liked it.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure I didn't like that part, because I never posted in those threads again.
Well, yeah, why would you? I mean, once they tar and feather you, it's not as though you can convince them to not.
Man, I can't believe people kept me around. I was the worst. Maybe that's why I was banned for being under 13.
It could be.
That's entirely possible. This looks like a good one.
Ugh. Oh, this one? Oh.
No, I mean...
That one?
Whatever.
This?
Just bring up whatever one that you want to talk about the least.
Alright, here we go. This is from my Zanga, where I started spelling things correctly.
Nice.
Started using capitalization.
Mm-hmm.
Still didn't write complete sentences, and formatted everything like a poem.
Oh, everything?
Yep.
That's unnecessary.
Here we go.
Read it like a poem.
All the titles were lost from my Zanga because they didn't translate over.
All right.
There was a weird process where, like, I had to upload my Zanga archive files to a WordPress website to be able to see them.
Weird.
Because WordPress bought Zanga and then didn't support it anymore.
Good choice on WordPress's part.
Probably.
You should read this like it's the love song of J. Alfred Prufrock.
I'm gonna read it like a poem.
Do it.
And so the jester said, as these things fall apart, it's best to let them fall, or else be stuck pulling and pulling until you fall apart yourself. Let things go.
So wise.
A tear rolls down his cheek. That doesn't mean he's weak.
Oh, so wise. So wise.
Gonna go shoot myself in the head now forever writing that.
Hey, that it...
Or...
It's bad.
Take my own advice.
Yeah.
And let things go.
Yeah, just let it go. You knew in the future that future you would be looking at and be like, listen, just let it go. It's fine.
Well, I also knew that, you know, a decade into the future, I would be kicking myself for not putting that in song form.
Yep.
Let it go.
Yep.
Let it go.
You could have made so much money.
I know.
Ugh. Well, let it go.
Maybe I inspired somebody with my Zanga.
Look, Henry, just because a tear rolled down your cheek does not mean that you are weak.
I'm two guns. I need two guns.
One for both of y'all.
One for everything.
So, here's my last entry.
All right.
And remember when I said that I didn't like to let people know how young I was?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Here we go.
It's a relatively short one, but it says a lot about me as a person.
Nice.
I cannot possibly imagine a pedestrian radio station having the balls with an with an at sign instead of an A.
Why?
To play Nin's Closer, which is Nine Inch Nails' song Closer. Seek out college radio stations, if you can. As a college radio DJ myself, let me tell you, we get to play whatever the F asterisk asterisk K we want to, exclamation point. Yep.
Wait, if you're really a college DJ, why are you censoring yourself on the internet?
I don't know.
Oh, gosh.
Man, though, no radio station would ever play a Nine Inch Nails song. They don't have the battles.
The battles.
Oh, gosh. I was just straight up the worst.
All right. Well, I think now it's time. We've got the sum of the parts.
Mm-hmm. Shall we discuss?
We need to discuss something here.
All right. What's your takeaway from what you saw of your past self?
I poured through, like, 30-odd entries on my live journal, and all I can say is, at 13, you can't consider yourself to be a writer if you spell no words correctly, use no, I mean, none of the conventions of standard English were there, and that's maybe a bit snobbish now, but people called me out on that, and I just text yelled at them.
Mm-hmm.
I was a bad person.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, you were 13. You weren't a person.
No.
But...
And also, really dumb of me to put so much personal information online. Like, I name people, I name, like, I name the town I'm from.
Yeah.
And this is still up. People can find this if they knew the username.
Mm-hmm.
Which they won't.
They won't. They shan't know.
Nope.
You definitely seem to want to be creative. You definitely seem to want to, like, this is an idea that I had, let me write it down for the entire world to see.
It was basically like, I kind of thought I was famous already, because I just wrote about my day.
Yeah.
As if people would want to read about how my day was.
Mm-hmm.
Which no one does.
No.
Not even, I mean, maybe close people, but still.
Well, no.
Yeah.
No one really cares how anyone's day just goes.
Unless it's like at, you know, the dinner, and it's your wife, and it's like you haven't seen her all day, and it's like, hey, how was your day at work?
Yeah.
But she doesn't write it down for everyone to see.
She does not. You did seem to have a comedic bent.
Yeah. I thought it was funny.
Yeah. Doesn't everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose for mine, man, I had a lot to prove.
You were, like, setting out for debates with people.
I just wanted to be bigger than I was, apparently.
And look at you now. Wait, how tall were you at 13?
Growth spurt had not happened yet.
Okay, so...
Yeah, I was shorter.
You physically got bigger than you
True.
Were.
True. But no, like, I... It's really disappointing because it stings to see how insecure you used to be.
Exactly.
And then, you know, since it was you, you can't help but look back and be like, am I that insecure now and I just can't see it? Am I just too close to it?
You know, I think that's a thing. It's like, looking back, we can both identify, like, things that we did that we would, but that we hate now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we see examples of people who still act like this.
Yeah.
The person who's, like, really trying to prove themselves and, like, talk themselves up, and they're pulling out the fancy words during, a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, me, the person who doesn't quite understand how to be a person.
Mm-hmm.
And so words are just sort of flowing out of their mouths.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, for the love of God, please stop talking because you're making everyone in the room cringe.
So do you think that when we see those things in ourselves, like when we go back and look at the stuff, do you think that we have such a strong visceral reaction because we recognize those traits in other people and we're like, when we see that now, we're like, we are so alien from those people, we could never be those people that we hate? Or do you think it's because when we see people act that way, we remember that we used to be that way, so we hate them?
You know, I think it can go either way. Because when I was describing what I was finding to you over Facebook chat, I asked, who is this?
Yep.
Who is this person I'm reading about?
Mm-hmm.
I think it just could be like a matter of, we don't tend to remember how we are at a specific time in our life, because we experience our entire life. So it's not like we can isolate moments of thought, but the internet let us do exactly that.
Mm-hmm.
Our thoughts were frozen in time, format and all. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, we're coming back. We are different people now, and that it hurts us kind of to see, like, I was this person. I wasn't always the person I am now.
I mean, life is you know, it's a continuum that you're on. It's a straight line, but you can never perceive it from multiple points. You just perceive it from the point you're in now.
Yeah.
And I forget if it's like the Soka Gakkai Buddhist movement. I forget what it is.
Okay.
But the idea is like, you know, every time you fall asleep, you die, and every time you wake up, you're born again.
I heard a story about that.
Okay.
It was shit.
Oh, was it when you were 13?
Nope.
Okay.
I was a master's student.
Nice.
It was awful. Anyway.
But no, I think that if you, like, in the abstract, die and are reborn that many times, you can't understand the person you used to be at all. Like, when I was 12, 13, probably during the time that I made some of those posts, I was very conservative. I was very anti-drug, anti-gay people. Like, I was awful.
Yeah.
And that's partially from being a product of my environment, but it's like, I'm so different from that person now that it's not... Like, there's some things I see that person used to do that I still do. I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate it more than the things that I see that just feel like a different person.
Yeah. I mean, science says, I think it's about, like, every 7 years, every cell in your body is replaced.
Mm-hmm.
And I think something kind of happens similarly on the personality level.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have, like, a time period for it, but it seems like you'd be kind of evolve into a different personality or person every few years.
Mm-hmm.
Because the person who wrote these entries back then was a very dark, very seemingly disturbed person.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't help that literally a month after starting that live journal, mm-hmm. I got in a fight and was arrested.
Ooh.
So, reading the clues, I'm like, oh, this is from that period of my life when mm-hmm. I was arrested for fighting.
Yeah.
But, so, I don't know. I just feel like...
If you wanted to... Sorry.
No, keep going.
I'm just saying, like, if you wanted to, you could probably do some amount of detective work and be like, this led to this. This is the big, like, landmarks in my life were led up to by my feelings at the time. Because, you know, our brains are these huge probability clouds of hundreds of millions of things that we can't really predict. But if we see a pattern like that led to this.
Yeah.
Like, when I see how white knighty I used to be, and white knighting, for people who are listening and don't know what that is...
Oh, I forget. Yeah, we did just kind of drop that term in.
It's a derogatory term for people on the internet who, what's the word?
Well, it's kind of like, I may not agree with what you say, but I will defend with my life your right to say that and be considered right mm-hmm. if you are female.
Yeah, you kowtow to women very easily because you crave female attention. Maybe.
It's basically sort of like, I want to be the super in-your-face defending feminism thing mm-hmm. because I think that'll get me brownie points with girls.
For what it's worth, though, when I was 12, 13, 14, I hated feminism, thought it was ridiculous, but I wanted to defend women because I thought they couldn't stand up for themselves.
Because feminism didn't work, right?
But like,
it's like circular logic.
I see some of that in myself today. Like, I do defend women in a biased way. I am biased towards thinking women are more right, but that's just holdovers from how I used to be. But I see like the 1, 2, 3 from there because I used to white knight women. So I ended up in my, like, early teenage years, like 14, 15, and 16, being, like, really abusive relationships where I was abused by the women I was in relationships with just because I was like, yay, women are the best. And, yeah, because I couldn't perceive that women could abuse people because, like, no, men are, it's fine. Men protect women. I can't be abused. Is abused.
What a strange person you were.
Yep. It was.
Not that past Henry wasn't strange. I mean, he went by a different name and everything.
Yeah.
But, I forgot to explain that, but it's too late now.
Well, just go with it.
Doesn't matter. I don't know. I just feel like we live in a weird time in our lives where we can, like, go back and literally see what we would think at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you keep, like, a diary or a journal in real life, you really can't do that much today.
Mm-hmm.
But everything that's posted is sort of saved in some format, and you can go back and look at it, so it's just kind of like, it's literally a window into the past.
I mean, for us, as we discussed earlier, there were barriers to entry to us doing this, but people born 5, 6, hell, people born 10 years later than we were, it's going to be so easy for them to find everything they've ever written, because Facebook is going to exist ad infinitum, essentially.
Yeah.
And Facebook never deletes anything.
One thing that I think is sort of, I don't know, that the people born 5, 6, 10 years after us are going to miss out on is might be the sense of community that I found in this live journal thing. Mm-hmm. I was like a small ring in a small ring of people who seemed to all read each other's stuff and comment on it.
Mm-hmm.
And like I've always considered myself to not be a person who was like, I didn't grow up on the internet is what I used to say.
Mm-hmm.
But looking back, I totally grew up on the internet.
Absolutely.
And like with your forum posts and stuff, that also is like a sense of community, mm-hmm. even if you were like the village.
Yeah.
Target practice.
But to be fair, it was only there that that was really the case. I was a member of several super close-knit communities on the internet for a long time.
I feel like with these wide-ranging things like Facebook and like even YouTube and Vine, like any site that can create a pseudo-celebrity,
mm-hmm.
that sense of community I think might be lost.
I feel like it is lost because Facebooks and maybe Vines are different, I don't know, but we are definitely living in an age of the internet where socialization is equated to glamorization. You know, if you're socializing on the internet, if you're presenting a best foot forward, you're trying to be glamorous, you're trying to be glamorized in people's eyes, whereas before you were just trying to be a part of something.
Yeah.
Like, there were these communities that you never, you wanted to stand out, and you wanted to be heard, but you never wanted to be a star. There was never any thought that anything you contributed to these would be seen by tens of millions of people. They'd never have news stories written about them.
No, I mean, honestly, from reading that dumb Live Journal, I was basically literally journaling my day. That's that's not something that TMZ would pick up on mm-hmm. or anything like that. It was just like, hey, this is just what I went through today.
Mm-hmm.
You guys were, you know, some of you were there. I didn't see some of you, but I know you in real life. What mm-hmm. do you think about the things that happened?
Yeah.
And they would comment with, overwhelmingly, you've got a lot of pointless posts.
Yep.
And I did. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of this stuff is over half of it is gibberish.
Yeah. There's definitely there was a sense of the internet where you just wanted to think, hey, maybe someone cares. If they care, I'll put it out there for them. If not, I'll just do it.
Yeah.
It's so different now, and maybe that's just me being an old person, but...
One of the main differences I can see between my younger self and my older self is that today I'm so very hesitant when it comes to actually, like, posting something online.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want people to receive it well and like it, and stuff mm-hmm. like that. Young me didn't give a damn.
Hey, it's glamour.
I was like, I'm reading this, I'm like, this is all terrible. Like, who would post this? I think maybe over the years the internet has become more... Like you said, like, we're curtailing everything. Mm-hmm. We want everything to shine when
we
present it to the world.
We want everything to boil down to likes. We want it to boil down to, like, this positive feedback loop. Because the worst feeling you can have is you put out something you care about on Facebook and no one likes it.
Were there likes on MySpace?
No, I don't think so.
You're right.
I think there were comments.
You could comment, but that would be like entering a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't get away with just hitting a button and walking away from the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Man, people should study the effect social media have had on people.
I would really like to read any kind of paper talking about the effect of the creation of a like button.
Yeah. Because what cuts the conversation short is just the ability to express your opinion immediately without the use of actually thinking it out and writing it down.
Mm-hmm.
And what even is your opinion if you just like something?
What do you like about it? That question's not answered. I mean, it's kind of like when you get into grad school and your professor's like, what's your response to this piece?
Mm-hmm.
You can't say you just liked or didn't like it.
Yeah, you can't just flash a thumbs up at your professor.
Yeah, you have to converse, you have to explain, you need examples,
mm-hmm.
you need to be a real person.
I mean, I feel like the internet, once again, old man moment, but I feel like the internet has moved so progressively far away from using thought to express yourself, and instead using actions to express yourself. There's, I forget who said this, but he described the modern way that we communicate online as grunt and point.
Mm-hmm.
Because we never talk, we're just like, and we hit a like button, we're like, or we subscribe, and we downvote something. That's all we do.
So it's kind of like we came from grunts and pointing,
mm-hmm.
and then language adapted to so that we could express our grunts and mm-hmm. like point with our words,
mm-hmm.
which a lot of like historical linguists say that words were just another way to point without pointing, basically. Mm-hmm. And now we're devolving back again to likes and just shares.
Yeah, absolutely. I really do think that's the case. And I mean, look at how people communicate in the shorthand and in text messages or any kind of messenger program. It's emojis. And I'm not saying emojis are inherently bad, but emojis are saying, I want to communicate a feeling, but I don't have the words to communicate it, and it's much faster to just go, clapping, smile, wedding ring.
That means I'm happy that you're engaged?
Sure.
I think emojis are like, the way I used them, they're like a dessert, you know, they're like, I'll explain what I mean, but then I might put like a little funny dragon bunny, you know, man high-fiving a window.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone knows the man high-fiving a window emoji.
Yeah, it's the best one. I don't know, maybe emojis are a step in the right direction, but I do feel like the almost semi-anonymous, no thinking required, like, share, upvote, downvote, I don't think that helps us move forward in being like, hey, the internet's the best way to communicate information and ideas. We should use it in an extremely simplistic way. I like that.
But what do you do? Do you make it so that when you hit the like button, a box pops up and says, well, why? Why do you like this?
You make it so there are only two options. Comment or share.
Okay.
If you share something, you're sharing an idea. If you're commenting, you're giving someone an idea.
We need to go back to MySpace.
Yeah?
I think that's the point of us looking back in the last 10 years.
Just live journal and MySpace are the only ways to go.
Yeah?
Get Tom on the line.
I think he sold MySpace.
Oh.
I don't know who bought it.
Zanga!
Zanga doesn't really exist.
No, he sold it to Zanga.
Oh, okay. And then
it's all on
WordPress owns it now.
It's all on WordPress.
MySpace is all on WordPress.
Ugh.
Well, I think to wrap up this conversation,
yes,
let's hear some wise words from the Zanga of a young Trey. Yeah, a young Trey. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
It's time we start to see through the fogged, shattered glass placed in front of our eyes and see the truth of life, which is everything you see that is obvious and nothing that you can question.
Wait.
What? This is like eight lines that say nothing.
There's no idea there.
Nope. Eight lines that say absolutely nothing.
Man, it sounds deep, though.
It sounds deep as hell. There's no meaning in this word. Nice. In these words.
Fogged, shattered glass. That's really good.
Thanks.
Great.
There's an image. There's fogged, shattered glass, but...
Yeah?
See the truth of life, which is everything you see that is obvious, and nothing that you can question. It doesn't mean anything!
It has no meaning.
So let's take those words to heart.
And let's think about those words as we take a break.
Exactly. Commercials! We sold out a long time ago. Bye!
It's like, okay. Why did my brain go to pineapple?
I mean, that's what a psychiatrist would tell you.
Okay. Hey there, Henry.
Oh, John.
I heard from the grapevine that you're a writer.
You're right.
You know, a lot of writers out there are having a hard time finding work in this tough economy.
Oh, please, tell me more.
You know, I've been doing a little bit of research on this copy that the ad agency sent us.
Interesting, that's nice.
And it turns out that an easy way for writers to get work is to just write one weird kind of book.
One weird kind of book?
With this one weird kind of book, authors can do anything.
Oh, what's this one weird kind of book?
A manifesto.
Oh, a manifesto.
A manifesto.
Okay.
All you do is you sit down and you start writing down all of your thoughts and you compile it into one compendium and you're done. You just wait for the money to roll in or the social revolution to occur.
Do I have to have important thoughts, or could they just be like, what I like on bread?
I'm sure if you just write anything down, people will read into it what they want.
A company is paying us to advertise this?
Manifesto Co.
Manifesto Co?
Manifesto Co.
What do they actually sell?
Manifestos. You write a manifesto, you send it to Manifesto Co. They print the manifesto on helpful paper... Paper?
On helpful paper.
They print it on paper, of course. But, they distribute this manifesto in pamphlets or booklets to developing countries.
Oh. When do I get my money?
You just wait. It'll happen eventually.
Okay.
Just last week, in fact, I got a check from Manifesto Co.
How much was it for?
120 rupees.
That's like $5.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Manifesto Co. is so good, you'll get $5 in your neighborhood.
Manifesto Co.
It's podcast time.
Bucky.
Hey, John.
Hey, Henry.
That was a good break.
Nice break.
Just the break I needed to get back into this high-octane action that is our podcast.
Nice cast.
Yeah.
It's a nice cast.
I think it has been.
Thus far.
But we shouldn't evaluate how nice it's been during.
All right, we'll evaluate after.
All right, good.
So what do you want to talk about?
I guess we could do a State of the Human Address.
All right, we can do a State of the Human Address.
We haven't done a full one in a while.
All right, let's do a full State of the Human Address. Man, what a heavy podcast episode, making up for all those light discussions of Cappy Americas.
I mean, yeah, we can't just pull punches every week. Sometimes you gotta do the full kick.
You know, I would like to talk about Captain America Civil War when you've seen it.
Yeah, that's why we're not talking about it
this
week.
Yeah, that's not to State of the Human Address.
State of the Human Address.
Do you want to start or shall I?
Let's remind the viewers how this works.
So what the State of the Human Address is we both come with one positive and one negative thing that the human race has done that we've experienced in the last week.
Okay.
And then, conflating those two things together, we make it into one blanket statement for all of humanity to abide by. It's a real light, airy segment.
Yeah. You know, with law binding implications that result from it.
And it will change humanity forever.
Such levity. Such friendship.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've already thought of mine.
Go for it.
All right, here's a thing that humanity has done in the past week that I approve of.
All right.
Starting out with the good.
Mm-hmm. Like all constructive things, it starts out good.
And that is, my bosses have recently learned that I have been applying to jobs in a different state for the past half a year.
Mm-hmm.
I was hiding it from them for, like, the reasons that some employers don't want you to be looking for a job while you're on the job somewhere else. And my bosses were really receptive.
Oh, okay.
In fact, the main boss, who I rarely ever see, came in today and basically just sat down with me and was like, here's just some advice I have about the area you're looking in, the industries you're looking in.
Mm-hmm.
And she asked me, flat out, like, so can we expect you back in the fall?
Mm-hmm.
And I was very hesitant. And she said, well, your job will be here if you need it.
Oh, that's very nice.
The nicest thing that my bosses have ever done.
Mm-hmm.
So great.
Mm-hmm.
Let's keep that up.
Yeah, let's keep that one up.
Do I do my negative? Do I do it all in one shot?
Then you do your negative, then you bring it all together at the end.
Here's the negative thing.
All right.
Due to budget cuts.
Oh, no.
At the university I work at.
Mm-hmm.
Across the board, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
The English department that has something to do with how we're funded has to slash some of the budget.
Oh no.
So everyone's summer hours are being cut down.
Oh no.
To like abysmal levels.
That's really terrible.
The writing center has the most at 12 a week.
Ooh. That's hardly any.
Yes.
That's super small.
The people working in the office over the summer, the actual English department office,
mm-hmm.
get 10 hours a week.
Oh, wow. That's super depressing.
You can't live on any of this.
Yeah, no, you can't. That's a barely subsistence.
And so, I'm gonna just say, you gotta have enough money to support people if you're gonna hire them and keep them hired.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but so now I bring it together in one.
Yeah, conflate the two together.
All right.
And then change humanity with it.
All right, humanity, here we go. Stop cutting the funding to fucking universities, damn it! What could be more valuable than education?
Mm-hmm.
You know, any level of education. Basic, high, super extreme, platinum. All of the levels of education are valuable. And you have to support the people who work in education, who are helping other people seek an education.
Mm-hmm.
How? Why? In 2016, is education not getting as the same amount of money as, like, road work? Or other infrastructure things that are also being cut bad comparison. Why are teachers not making the same amount of money as congressmen?
Why are we making military money?
What is that?
Money that we could spend in the military.
Why do we have one of the largest standing armies in a time of relative peace?
Mm-hmm.
There's conflict out there. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
Do we need a National Guard on top of the army, on top of the state National Guard, on top of the federal National... Support education. Give me more money for my job.
Maybe the best way to have a National Guard is to safeguard the minds of children as they age, and also make them better. I was talking to someone recently about teaching positions. I'm like, yeah, you should get paid better, because it's the most important job.
Teachers literally teach people who go into every other profession.
Yeah, they make every person in their country better. They make their country better.
Having a more educated populace results in usually a better country.
Yeah, and also people should be paid more across the board. I think minimum wage is bullshit.
Yeah, minimum wage is bullshit.
But that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, I mean, that's another thing.
Yeah.
I can't complain about it because right now I make more than minimum wage.
Mm-hmm.
So I leave that to the people who can fight that fight.
Yeah.
So that's my State of the Human Address. Stop shitting on education.
Stop shitting on education, humanity.
And start starting my wallet.
You're on notice, humanity.
Get me money, humanity.
So here's mine.
All right, John's gonna go now.
All right, so here's my good. All right. And this is going to be a bit of a stretch.
Okay.
So I was on YouTube recently.
Oh, no.
As I tend to be when I'm procrastinating.
Yeah.
And I found that there are a series of videos, hundreds in number, of things being crushed by hydraulic presses.
Nice.
It's very cathartic. When I first saw it, I thought it would be some weird fetish thing. It's not really. It's almost a how-did-this-get-made level of curiosity itching, scratching.
Can I sidetrack you for a little bit?
Yes.
As a person, and maybe for other viewers who've never watched a thing being crushed by a hydraulic press video, could you walk us through it?
So, let's say you're watching a video, and it's called PlayStation 4 Controller versus Hydraulic Press. In most cases, someone who is not from the United States, who is most likely from Finland, will place the object on a large steel die, and then a hydraulic press will slowly descend down and then crush it with more force than you thought was possible.
So it's slow.
Yes.
It's a slow process.
It is a slow process.
So it's like, you can kind of see the object just squish and
yeah, you can
nothing.
See it be destroyed. And
all
it's
right.
It's interesting in a lot of ways to see, like, oh, this is what happens when a bowling ball gets crushed, or this is what happens when a gummy bear gets crushed. And the thing that brought this to people's attention was, you know, the whole, you can't fold paper more than 7 times.
Yeah.
The hydraulic press
did
the 8th fold of a piece of paper, and the paper exploded.
That's awesome.
The scientists still, to my understanding, have not been able to understand why that happened.
Oh.
They're like, I think it turned into a crystalline structure under pressure because it was, you know, at that point, 7 folds, it was like hundreds of thousands of layers. So
yeah.
Like, you know, they turned into a crystalline structure which then broke like glass.
That's crazy.
It is crazy.
I need to look up specifically that video.
And it's, if you watch it, it's very interesting to see how many things get crushed by a hydraulic press. But that leads me to one thing. The internet is an amazing thing. It gives people, like, what they want or what they didn't think they wanted. I didn't think I was going to spend 30 minutes watching videos of things being crushed by a hydraulic press.
Yeah.
But we live in such an age of plenty that I was able to do that.
Man, way to go civilization.
Way to go civilization for providing for those who didn't know they needed. Or providing in general. Bad thing.
Here we go.
I was also on YouTube.
Oh, God.
And this is a significantly worse thing that I watched, but it's grocery haul videos. Not entertaining, it's just videos of people shopping for groceries who are usually, like, vlog personalities, like video blog personalities, and they just walk you through what they buy when they go shopping.
So you're saying, like, a YouTube star?
Yes.
Will take their camera
into a grocery store
and just buy groceries like normal.
Explain why they're buying it, and then put it in the cart.
And because they upload this.
Because I guess people want to eat like they do.
And how many views do they get?
Somewhere between a few 10,000 to a few 100,000.
It must be nice to be YouTube famous.
It really must be. But I was watching a British person do this. By the way, this was not the same night. I had just been procrastinating on a number of projects, and one night I just saw something that said grocery haul, and I couldn't imagine what that meant. Turns out it's exactly what it sounded like.
All right.
So this person was British.
British?
And he went to the produce section and found shelves full of things that were marked down to the American equivalent of 25 cents, 50 cents, 75 cents, which were big bags of, like, fresh produce. Really nice things that were marked down because they were expiring the next day. And they weren't being thrown away, because there are incentives in Europe to not throw away food that has gone bad. So they discount it, they're still making money.
That's good.
The bad thing about it is, why the fuck don't we do that in America? Why do we throw so much good food away? Why do we waste so much food? Do you know how much water it takes to grow a fucking almond?
Wait, one almond?
Like 1.1 gallons of water is needed to grow one almond.
Why?
Because it's really inefficient at turning it into the proteins.
I need to finish all my almonds instead of just throwing them away.
Yeah, you do. You need to finish food. I'm a huge, like, conserve food, dude.
I do not throw food away unless it has spoiled.
Yeah, don't do... Yeah, that's... Because it'll kill you, throw it away.
Yeah.
But why do we throw so much food away? It's insanely wasteful. Because you'd make money if you sold it.
Yeah?
The argument is, well, people would wait for it to go bad and then buy it. That's not necessarily the case.
And also, if that is the case, I mean, they've got less time. It's not going to last long at their house, so they'll be back.
Yeah, if it goes bad, just sell it.
Yeah.
Sell it to people who will use it almost immediately. Because you see this guy who's buying big carts full of fresh fruits and vegetables and really healthy things by shopping right, and he spends maybe $20 a week on food. Oh, that's extremely good for him.
I really wish that I could live on $20 a week on food.
Yep.
That's insane.
He's also a vegan, which is cheaper. Anyway...
Yeah, don't get off your high soy
whatever,
horse.
Whatever. Anyway.
You don't want to ride a real horse, because that would hurt it.
Soy horse.
Except you make a horse out of soy, but it can't move. Let's see, you place first at the Grand Derby.
Your soy horse. Anyway.
I don't know. I have no problem with your veganism.
But no, it's totally... It sucks. It sucks that we do that.
So now you got to conflate and elate.
It's amazing that we live in such a time of plenty... In pretty much everything. There's never been a richer generation than the generation we are right now. In like technology, or information, or food. We're so rich in food as a world. But why are there crazy arcane restrictions in certain countries that lead them to waste shit all the time? Why do we waste the information we're given on the internet by just hitting a like button? Why do we waste the opportunity to share ideas? Why do we waste our food?
Why don't we... Always ask for a box.
Guys.
At a restaurant.
Yeah.
Take that food home.
Yep.
Eat it later. Don't leave it on the plate, even if it's just like a little bit.
Yeah.
That rounds out a meal.
It's still like nourishment that you could get.
Don't throw food away.
I don't understand.
If you're not going to eat it, don't order it.
Because guys, stop wasting thing, because at the end of the day, one is the magic number.
Oh God, fuck you.
No. One hamburger thrown away changes how people live their lives. Think about how much water, how much grass went into making that thing.
Oh, I always finish my hamburger.
Well, yeah, you're an exception.
Heck, I finish other people's hamburgers.
Just constant hamburger. Like, it's an assembly line.
I will be the table's garbage disposal.
I do that at tables, too. Like, especially when I ate more than I do now, I'd be like, if you're not going to eat that, just give it to me.
Yeah.
I'll use the energy, even if it's just to create fat. I'll just use it.
And then I'll burn that fat away as motivation to keep working out.
Yeah, just don't waste things.
Don't waste food.
Just think about how much it takes. Think about how rich you are. Be mindful and sell me cheap vegetables, goddammit.
I like how both of our messages rounded out to something a little more selfish than what we let on.
As long as State of the Human Address is benefiting me, I don't care.
Yeah, don't throw food away.
Don't throw food away and pay Henry more.
Fine, raise education and sell John cheap veggies.
We both want to eat. Anyway, that's a good State of the Human Address.
Yeah, you know? I feel like, if nothing else, this episode of the podcast has been educational.
I feel like, if nothing else, this episode of the podcast has been elucidating.
Does that mean educational?
Probably.
Well, homework.
Homework, Google that.
Google elucidating, and then yell at John when he's wrong.
Yeah, correct me. You know how you can correct me.
Oh, how can they correct you, John?
By sending me a direct message or just a regular message on the good old Twitter, at ZCPCWHJ on Twitter.com.
We're getting really good at saying ZCPCWHJ.
ZCPCWHJ. Zero Credits Podcast with Henry John.
Yep. That's what it stands for. Alternatively, you can always send an email if you're a fan of, I guess, more formal education. Formal communication.
Communication.
God, I can't speak. So you could email us at zerocreditsaspodcast@gmail.com. And if you have corrections, we'll read them.
Yeah, we will. We will honestly read corrections on the air.
Or, in the theme of this episode, if you can dig up something embarrassing from your past, share it with us, and we can share it with everybody. That's a weird incentive, because, like, it's a chance for you to embarrass yourself, but we should all be humble at some time.
We should all be comfortable being uncomfortable, and in fact, you should like, comment, and subscribe on iTunes, but you know what? If you only do one of those three, make it a comment.
Yeah, and we'll actually check our iTunes section for a change and see if there's any comments going up over there.
We'll do that. We can only do one thing per podcast.
It's true. There's a lot of overhead, a lot of staff to manage, and you won't believe how long it took my intern to really dig up my stuff. Oh.
Yeah, 3 months.
Yeah.
That long.
That and the fact that my intern is me.
Yeah. That's significantly more difficult. Listen, pay Henry's intern more. Anyway.
So I guess that's
Ben
Zero
Cred.
It's podcast. Podcast isn't the name of the. I don't say it's welcome not. To Zero Credits Podcast.
Yeah, you're right. That's been Zero Credits.
That's been Zero Credits.
We've had fun.
You've enjoyed it.
Catch up with us on social media. Share your Zanga.
And always remember. It's not you who's wrong, it's the children.
And always remember, through that fogged, shattered glass in front of our faces, you can question nothing.
See the truth, which is that it's everything that is observable, and nothing you can question.
And hey, if we were snippy, A, asterisk, asterisk, get over it.
See you on Gaia Online.
Jesus Christ. Later.
Bye!
Podcast deserves an applause.